This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting with your commodities on the Chicago Board of Trade from last Friday, corn finished higher, with March finishing at 378.5, up 3.25. May corn finished at 386.25, up 3.25. And July corn finished at 393.5, also up 3.25. Beans were lower last Friday, with January finishing at 884.75, down 8.75. March finished at 897.75, down 8.5. And May beans finished at 910.5, down 8.75. Wheat was lower as well. March finished at 514, down 9.5. May wheat finished at 521.25, down 9.75. And July wheat finished at 528.75, down 9.5. On to soybean meal from last Friday. January finished at 305.60, down $2.10. March bean meal finished at 310.10, down $1.90. And May bean meal finished at 313.20, down $2 even. Soybean meal from last Friday finished lower. January finished at 27.89, down 31 cents. March finished at 28.17, also down 31 cents. And May bean oil finished at 28.41, down 31 cents as well. And now we'll move on to your cash grain report from last Friday from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Friday afternoon. Technical buying supported corn values while disappointing China exports weighed on soybean values. In northern and western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher, 330 to 357. Soybean bids were down 7 to 8 cents at 797 to 834. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 337 to 357, while soybean bids were down 9 cents at 824 to 854. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 cents higher, 337 to 368, while soybean bids were down 7 to 8 at 828 to 859. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 9 cents lower at 855 to 875, while basis was steady at 30 under to 10 under the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 288.60 to 301.60, down to 10 a ton, with basis unchanged at 17 under to 4 under the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 3 cents higher at 355 to 371, with basis steady at 2408 under the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted at producing corn bids mixed, 355 to 365, with basis down 1 to 4 at 22 under the 17 under the March. Soybeans ended down 10 cents at 846 to 852, with basis down 1 at 39 under to 33 under the January. New crop wheat prices were 10 cents lower at 494 to 519. Basis was steady at 35 under to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 4 cents higher, 379 to 381. These elevators lowered their soybean values to 8 to 9 cents, with quotations at 875 to 876. Off wheat closed down 10 cents, 545 to 546. Milo ended the day up 4 to 9 cents at 404 to 409. Contract bids for producers for January delivery: corn in the northern part of the state at 334 to 361, soybeans at $8 to 842. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 339 to 361, while soybeans were 824 to 854. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 339 to 371, soybeans at 830 to 861, and June-July wheat at 487 to 524. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to the livestock numbers from last Friday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle were higher. December contract finished at 120.87, up 65 cents. February finished at 122.70, up 35 cents. And April live cattle finished at 124.82, up 25 cents. Feeder cattle were mixed but higher. January finished at 147.35, down 7 cents. March feeders finished at 145.52, up 7 cents. And April feeders finished at 145.97, up 7 cents as well. Lean hogs were mixed but lower. February finished at 61.12, down $1.25. April hogs finished at 67.22, down 55 cents. And May lean hogs finished at 73.95, up 10 cents. We'll move on to your cash livestock numbers on this Christmas Eve from the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 56 cents lower in a range of $40 to $45.14 with the weighted average carcass price of $44.07. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 20 to 27, 4 to 500 pounds at 22 to 30, 5 to 600 pounds at 25 to 33, over 600 pounds at 28 to 35. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gelts at the country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 25 to 31. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gelts totaled 22,716. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $113 to $120 and on a dressed basis traded at $188 to $190. Heifers on a live basis traded at $118 to $119 and on a dressed basis traded at $189 to $190. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 306 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $71.32, which was 73 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $214.05, which was $1.58 higher, with select carcasses at $207.50, which was $2.24 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 122,000 compared to 121,000 for last week, and 117,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 473,000 compared to 475,000 for last week and 459,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
In farm news for your Christmas Eve morning, Monday, December the 24th, the Trump administration is setting out to do what this year's farm bill didn't: tighten work requirements for millions of Americans who receive federal food assistance. The U.S. Department of Agriculture last Thursday proposed a rule that would restrict the ability of states to exempt work-eligible adults from having to obtain steady employment to receive food stamps. The move comes the same day that President Donald Trump signed the $867 billion farm bill that reauthorized agriculture and conservation programs while leaving the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which serves roughly 40 million Americans, virtually untouched. Passage of the farm bill followed months of tense negotiations over House efforts to significantly tighten work requirements and the Senate's refusal to accept the provisions. Currently, able-bodied adults ages 18 to 49 without children are required to work 20 hours a week to maintain their SNAP benefits. The House bill would have raised the age of recipients subject to work requirements from 49 to 59 and required parents with children older than 6 years old to work or participate in job training. The House measures also sought to limit circumstances under which families that qualify for other poverty programs can automatically be eligible for SNAP. None of those measures made it into the final farm bill, despite Trump's endorsement. America's Christmas tree farmers enjoy helping families make memories over the holidays. Chad Smith has more.
Pennsylvania farmer and York County Farm Bureau member Karen Doyle grows Christmas trees on 50 acres of her 115-acre farm. Her family's grown Christmas trees for 24 years, and they love helping families celebrate their holiday traditions. The Doyles enjoy listening to families talk to each other as they go from row to row trying to find the perfect tree.
Put your mitten on this tree and let's come back to it, something like that. And then they forget where they were. It's just so much fun listening to them trying to pick the perfect tree for their house. They get the kids involved. It's a great family event.
Doyle says raising Christmas trees reminds her and her family that the holidays are all about families spending time together. It's a special family experience that isn't found at any other time of the year.
It helps us to remember that the families that come together and celebrate the holidays together. A lot of families don't want to cut their trees down until the kids get home from school. It's just a family event. What we try to do here on the farm is create an experience for families. Christmas is definitely that joy.
Oregon farmer and Wasco County Farm Bureau member Fritz Ellett operates a small, family-owned farm that specializes in growing Christmas trees. He calls it a labor of love because trees take 8 to 10 years to get to market. His favorite part of Christmas tree farming is when people come out to cut their own trees.
Interacting with customers and the public, and they're showing up and they're in a good mood, they're happy. In our case, a lot of these are returning customers, and as long as we've been at it, you've got third and fourth generation of the same family returning.
Ellett says an important part of his job is educating consumers about the benefits of a real Christmas tree.
Part of my job is to educate people on what we're doing out here, the natural benefits of a Christmas tree, trying to convince them that it's better to come out here and buy a tree. You can create these traditions and memories and great feelings with your family. And by doing that, you're also helping the environment, avoiding another artificial tree that someday is going to end up in the landfill.
Chad Smith, Washington.
In state news, if you're planning to go ice fishing in Illinois this winter, the IDNR wants you to review life safety measures before heading out on the ice, drilling a hole, and dropping a line. The IDNR cannot stress enough the importance of safety when ice fishing. Outdoor recreation in the winter can be invigorating and a lot of fun, but it can turn into a dangerous situation in just seconds. Being prepared and ready for anything while outdoors this winter, especially if you're headed out onto the ice to fish, can save your life, said IDNR Conservation Police Chief Rafael Gutierrez. Those planning to ice fish should stay off the ice that's less than 4 inches thick. New ice is usually stronger than old ice. 4 inches of clear, newly formed ice may support one person on foot, while a foot or more of old, partially thawed ice may not. It is recommended that anglers carry a rope or flotation device with them to help assist them if someone falls through the ice. Wearing life jackets or a personal flotation device is always recommended when fishing offshore, including when ice fishing. The Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District is now accepting applications for doing certain conservation practices on ag land physically located within Montgomery County. Eligible practices include, but are not limited to, grassed waterways, basins, structures, cover crops, and strip-till operations. Cost share is limited to 50% of actual cost, not to exceed approved average costs for the practice. The sign-up period will run through the month of January, and the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District is an equal opportunity provider. And for more information, you can call the County Soil and Water Conservation District's office at 532-3361, extension 3. And as promised from last Friday, we'll catch up with Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. As we continue the conversation, we touch on a vehicle mile tax, which may become a reality in Illinois in 2019.
One discussion that's been out there is some people have come back and said, well, you know what, maybe the state needs to impose a vehicle mile tax, a VMT. A VMT basically, quite simply, is you pay so much per mile that you travel. You know, you pay that instead of a motor fuel tax. It's one of those pay-as-you-go options. VMT has been tested. Oregon's tried it. California has unsuccessfully tried it. None of the real VMT test projects have gone beyond the test stage just because there are so many, I'm not going to say problems, but there are a lot of hurdles.
And especially, well, I was thinking in our rural state,
yeah.
The farmer buys the fuel. They measure in hours on their tractor, not in miles. So how would you,
Good
how
question.
Would they scale that?
Well, and that's just it. If you're going to do it on road, You're going to do it with odometers? I mean, that's a good question. But the real issue here is a couple of things. People come back and say, a VMT is a good idea, but how are you going to record it? You know, the talk is, like what they do in some other states, is that they put a transponder in your car. Well, people are going, well, that's an invasion of privacy. I don't want anyone knowing where I'm going and driving and stuff like that. Others have said, well, you know what, you report your odometer reading on your income tax form. Well, what if you sell your car? You know, these types of things. I mean, there's all sorts of hurdles. The biggest criticism has been that if they try to do a VMT, you know, people say, you know, to get the Illinois Department of Revenue to be able to undertake such a program, put a transponder in every car, set up the mechanism to record it, report it, and compile it, and all this stuff. You know, you're talking $1 billion just to get the thing started.
Yeah,
so
more money we don't have.
Yeah, and so I really don't see a VMT as a viable state solution. If the federal government wants to come back and say we're going to do away with motor fuel taxes in general, in the United States we would go to a VMT, and they want to do it on a national basis, you know, that's a different story. You know, people have cars. What do you do with a VMT in Illinois if you drive out of state? You know, why am I going to pay Illinois for miles that I didn't drive in the state? So, you know, there's a lot of issues with it. Governor-elect Pritzker mentioned it, and he got shot down real quick. So I think the discussion, at least for the time being, on a VMT is pretty much done.
And that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. For this Christmas Eve morning, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.